The bare-chested man raises his hands pacifically.
"Don't mistake me," he says. "I'm not asking for trouble."
"He intends this," the woman explains, projecting an image in front of me. My breath catches when I recognize the tableau of seven soldiers inside a crater in a ruined city. Two of them look dead, Vo and Callie, and a third, Jag, is half obscured by the blast radius of her own paste grenade. Yekeligan is on his stomach in the background while Reyna and Theka and Sergeant Manager Lee stalk forward, tiny in the shadow of the towering Lamprey Queen. My out-of-focus calf hugs the crater wall behind them. But this is only a 3-second snippet ripped from Mirage, and the image doesn't sharpen on me. Instead, the projection spotlights the colors flickering inside the Lamprey Queen's semi-transparent body, then focuses on the three soldiers prowling forward. Reyna, Theka, and Lee. The image zooms on the fatalistic toughness in their faces, and the snippet ends, a heartbeat before the Queen kills Lee.
"Was a time we hated Corporal Military,"
the big man tells me.
"A time we didn't let you all leave the gutter intact. Except look at those tar heads. Look what they're fighting. Fighting for us, Shah. For you and me. Against a new world of grief. Look at their eyes."
"He knows them," the guard with the baton says, her gaze sharp on my face. The bare-chested man frowns at me.
"You do?"
"Yeah, we..."
I take a breath.
"I served with them a while back."
"With Master Sergeant Lee?" the guard asks, because Lee is a legend now, a hero with a non-existent rank. Master Sergeant. She'd smile to hear civilians getting her title wrong.
"Yeah,"
I say.
"What was she like?"
"Quiet."
None of them speak. Even the music seems to fade. "She never played the hard ass," I finally continue. "She didn't need to play. She knew the business. She did the job." "She was my sergeant. She's still my sergeant. I miss her, and I miss Bazdak and all of them." My throat tightens, and the big man clasps my shoulder and says,
"Cry if you want to, Shah. There's no shame in that."
Which is not how I'd expected this drug deal to go down. I don't cry, though. Cold-forged badass, remember? Instead, I wipe the tears from my eyes, disappear the stem into my jacket, and share a chillum pipe with the gangers. I also answer the questions, at least the ones that aren't classified. I tell them that the first Lampreys shimmered into existence last year, laying waste to enclaves and freeholds, flattening skyscrapers and massacring civilians. Nobody knew what they were. A weaponized virus remorted from the Terra fixing? An impossibly advanced army of a rogue corporate department? Spherical pink eel aliens? Well, nobody thought that last one except Callie. The corporations of the Cherzo 5 agreed on one thing, though. The only effective weapon against Lampreys were calves. I was the first cry pilot. I don't mention that part to the gangers. And Anvil Squad is the last intact squad. We tracked the assault to my childhood home, the doomed city of Villa Vella, where the Lampreys were created by Sweetwater, the first AI to ascend into sapience, and where Sweetwater was remorted by the Terra fixing into something terrible. The twisted new version of Sweetwater manipulated the corpos into destroying the exclusion dome over Villa Vella, then formatted itself into thousands of space-capable units that Ting labeled Fennekites. An armada of terrifying power and speed launched from the Earth, swatting corporate ships aside like insects. Anvil Squad killed the Lamprey Queen, which delayed the hostile fleet. But they're still out there. Thousands of Fennekite craft gathering in the reaches of the solar system, reconfiguring, reassessing. Nobody knows what Sweetwater wants. Nobody understands what it has become. That's above my investment portfolio anyway. All I know is this. Within the next hour, my squad is getting orders to head off planet to fight it. The steam of the chillum pipe is cool on my tongue. The music is loud, and the teenager with the shell gun is whirl dancing in the middle of the room. Ting is curled against me, She pushed a barb of stem, a glossy thorn the size of my pinky fingernail, into her neck. It fused with her spinal cord, and now she's floating on waves of electrons, spinning in a spray of quarks.